thankful for your goodness and for your kindness. We're really thankful for the Word of God, the Bible, because it instructs us in how to live. It's your words on paper. It's your thoughts. We don't have to guess what God thinks about things. It's all there for us. We're so thankful for that. I pray that you'd create in our hearts a greater hunger for your word. I think of believers that Chris Brown told us about in Russia, and they've been the same in China, where they'd meet in secret places and tear out one page of the Bible because it was illegal to have a Bible. And they'd tear out one page and pore over it and read it and ingest it and get it down on the inside of them, those holy words, and they'd meet some other believer and they'd swap pages and someone else and they'd get a different page. And sometimes it's a little embarrassing, to be honest, Lord. For us in the West, we probably have 20 Bibles in our homes and maybe we don't read them with that much hunger. I pray you'd help us to stay very hungry for the wonderful word that you've given us. And I really ask you to tune us all more and more into the Holy Spirit. He is the Godhead, the person of the Godhead here on the earth. And he has a word for us and a plan and a purpose for us. And I ask you to help us to hear his voice really clearly today in Jesus' name. Yes, sir. All right. Good, good. I'm going to talk to you about something really important. And I want to talk to you about the incredible power of forgiveness and how life-changing that is. And we've got a little title here, Freeing Your Life Through the Power of Forgiveness. Most of the TV programs that you probably watch or may watch, many of the advertisements, many of the movies, many of the songs, just ringing a little bit there. Many of the songs that we sing, the motive in a lot of these things is actually hurt, bitterness, and unforgiveness. About how we're going to get somebody back. About how somebody could do that to me. About how dare you. Oh, I didn't know. You know, some of the soaps are just quite incredible. Oh, really? Like that you're the father of that child, really, that you didn't know, and your mother's cousin's son is really your brother's grandma's niece, and nobody told you all these years? Are you with me? So much of the world, because they haven't understood the power of forgiveness. Forgiveness has got enormous, enormous power. To be a forgiving person is one of the greatest ways to free your own life. So if you ever feel heavy in life, you ever feel like things seem blocked, and it could be something else. Maybe the finances seem blocked. Maybe my life seems to be just trudging. Maybe my relationships seem blocked. One of the key things that you need to attend to is this issue of forgiveness. So we're going to walk through that together, and I want to show you what Jesus, that'll go in a sec. What Jesus taught about it, what the New Testament teaches about it, and how to walk in it. Because if you don't know how to walk in forgiveness, and here's the shocker, God won't forgive you. And you don't want to be in that place. Let's go and have a look at a few verses here together. That's maybe a little small. I think I gave you too many notes probably there, but can you read some of that? Jesus links faith and forgiveness together. Faith is one of the big three. Does anyone know what the big three are? They're in 1 Corinthians 13, 13. Faith, hope. Say it again.
Faith, hope, love.
One more time.
Faith, hope, love.
These are incredible. These are not just nice ideas that somebody reads at a wedding or in a, you know. These are forces that change the world. Faith is a force. A powerful force that changes the world. Love is a force. Not just, you know, oh, well, she's so sweet. I love her. I'll buy her some flowers. Oh, she makes me feel nice. Love is a force that changes the world. Hope is a force that will change your life. You ever been hopeless? I've been in places where I've been like physically ill. with hopelessness, just feeling like there's no hope. And it'll kill you. I felt like I was dying at that time. I was that ill, not because I was primarily physically ill, but I was primarily hopeless. And everything else falls out of that. And so we've got faith, hope, and love. Now, the thing about faith is that faith is the thing that brings what heaven has already got prepared for you and brings it real into your world. That's what faith does. So healing, when Jesus got people healed, you might have a bad back, you might have a bad stomach, you might have some other problem. Jesus heals people all the time. That's just the business that he's in. Now, don't go and be religious on me and say, oh, well, I must be doing something wrong because I'm not healed. Don't go there. It's a different kind of thinking. Jesus is just a healer. It's in his nature. That's what he does all the time. But the thing that brings his healing power into your world is faith. Faith is being convinced about something down on the inside. When you have faith, you don't even really hardly think about the opposite. It's like, I've got faith. It's like, I know. And faith is a wonderful power. But have a look at what Jesus taught here. Mark 11, I'll read it out of this version. It says, I say to you, Jesus speaking, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe. Well, that's the faith word there. Everyone say believe.
Believe.
Believe and faith are the same thing. Faith is a noun. It's a substance. Believe is a verb. You remember your primary school grammar? A verb is a doing word. Remember that? So believe and they're flip sides of the same coin. Believe that you've received them, and maybe if you're lucky, if you pray the right way, you'll get them. Is that what it says up there? It says, they will be granted you. Everyone say, I'll get them. Faith is the thing that gets them. Whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. A transgression is just when you miss it, you make a mistake. Anyone ever made one of those? Yeah, okay. So forgiveness here, it says you've made transgressions, you've made mistakes, and God forgives you. And then it says, but when you're praying, you're going to have to forgive if you've got anything against anyone. And if you don't forgive, then you block God from forgiving you. Does God still love you? Of course he does. But if he's going to die for you, send Jesus to the cross and forgive you for everything, and then someone does something to you and you're not going to forgive them even though he forgave you, there's a problem with that. You see what I'm saying? And it doesn't wash. You just block the power of God from forgiving you. So even though he still loves you and even though he doesn't abandon you, but in terms of God being with you in everyday life, there's a blockage there. The tap's blocked. The power isn't flowing because you've held on to unforgiveness. So it's very important, because I would say that there's a pretty decent proportion of the Christian world, the churches, where beautiful people like us in these churches are suffering at some level or another because of this issue of forgiveness. And they've never really been taught how to walk through it. So we're going to walk through it together. Let's have a look at our next little bit of information here, because it's pretty challenging. Cool, yeah. How can you forgive everyone for everything? Pretty challenging, huh? There are some very real things. What about if, as a child, you were sexually interfered with by a responsible adult? Don't look at me like that. You all read the newspapers and the internet. No. These are real things that people deal with. What happens? What happens if you were physically abused? You were slapped, you were hit. What if, which is probably just as bad, maybe worse, you were told repeatedly that you were worthless? You're just not going to amount to anything. You're a pain in the neck. I wish I never had you. Those kind of words. Especially with kids, you know. What if you're in a relationship? What if you're in a relationship with a boss where they take advantage of you, they favor someone else? These are all real things. What about if you've got a neighbor next door, like I had once in Australia when I was younger, I was a child, who had some problem with my parents, and so he would throw poison over the fence to kill the trees and then say he didn't do it, but you could see the track of poison because it killed all the grass as well and everything between where he threw it and the tree. That's a relatively minor one. What if you go into business with someone and it's a deal and, well, hey, especially if we're Christians, you want to be very, very careful. Can I give you a little bit of counsel? If you were going into business with anyone or you were going to take on a financial responsibility, I would really, really advise you to get counsel, to get good advice. And not just from business people, from godly people. That's part of what I'm here for. And we have a team of people like Carrie and Lucille and Owen and Chrissy and others that also can help you with those things. I'm amazed at the amount of Christians that do dumb things and they never asked anybody. And then they came back 10 years later and they say, you know, this guy was a Christian. And we put £20,000 each in and then he walked off with it. And I'm thinking, hello? Are you surprised? Yeah, well, I'm really surprised. Well, I'm not. It's just what happens. People do things, wrong things. And probably all of us will have suffered from some of these things to some degree or another. What about somebody you married? And they said, I'm going to love you forever, because that was the promise you made, you remember? For better, for worse. And now it's worse. Well, that's part of the deal. Oh, well, I don't like it anymore. Yeah, we knew that would happen because that's life. It's like 50 years. Every now and then things don't work out that well. Hello? Reality check. And that's why you made that promise, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. Now we're poorer because you forgot to insure the house and the house got flooded. That's no reason to leave. You made a promise. Nobody forced you to promise. But we need to start to develop a lifestyle where we stay true to our promises. Because you defeat yourself. If you promise something and then you pull out, you're defeating yourself. The very core of who you are as a person is badly impacted by that. And you need to restore that and make that right. It's very quiet here in this Presbyterian church, huh? So all these things, you see, they're real things. And if you will have faced probably some of them. And I wish I could promise you different news, but you will face some more in the future. And so how do you forgive someone for that? Let's walk through it. Number one, forgiving is not forgetting. You heard that phrase, haven't you? Oh, forgive and forget. Yeah, that ain't so easy when somebody abused your child. Forgive and forget. Some things have happened to me, maybe some things have happened to you, and I ain't never going to forget. I'll go to my grave remembering some of the things people did to me. But that doesn't mean I didn't forgive them. You see what I'm saying? I forget. How can you forget? How can you forget? You make a commitment to someone. You put £20,000 in and you say, we're in this together, and they pull out. You're going to forget? The Bible never says forgive and forget. But what you can do is you can forgive even though you don't forget. You don't have to forget. There are just certain things that happen in life. Are you with me? Let's go to a next one. I'm going to walk through this with you. Number two, forgiving doesn't mean the relationship is restored or that you're supposed to be good friends again. You're in a contract with somebody in business. They steal £10,000 from you. You're going to have to forgive them. What if they don't apologize? You're going to have to forgive them anyway. The thing with forgiveness is, unforgiveness, is it doesn't damage the other person, it damages you. Are you with me still? It's very quiet here, Owen, very quiet in here. Unforgiveness is like, and I think I put this quote in later, unforgiveness, not forgiving someone, holding on to bitterness, holding on to a grudge, having this thing in me like, you know what I'm talking about? That's like drinking poison and then hoping or wishing that the other person is going to die. That's how dumb it is. You're drinking the poison, you're getting sick, and you think, yeah, I drink enough of this and I'll get them. It won't do a thing to them. And matter of fact, if they truly say sorry before God and repent, God will forgive them. And you can sit there and say, they did the wrong thing to me and God's forgiven them, but he'll forgive you too. But you're going to have to forgive. You're going to have to let it go. So forgiving is not forgetting, and forgiving doesn't mean that the relationship is restored. So in business, that's true, because as you can see, forgiveness is an act of the will and the heart. You make a decision to forgive. And it's displaying to other people the same thing you've received from Jesus. He forgave me. Is there anything he's going to get hold against you? No? Anything? God's not going to hold anything against you. He's not going to remind you of the mistakes you made. He wipes them. He's got a really cool idea. He's better than us at this. He says, I've got a sea. In the King James Version, it says, the sea of forgetfulness. And he takes everything that you've done wrong and he throws it into the sea of forgetfulness and he doesn't remember. Now that's easier for, maybe, I don't know if that's easier for God than for us, but it's the way God deals with it. He takes one thing, he says, our sins, our mistakes, our transgressions, he takes them as far as the east is from the west. Well, how far is the east from the west? It's limitless. You just keep going west. It's just completely as far as it can be from you. He separates you from all the things. God doesn't berate you over what you've done wrong. God doesn't punish you. He's not like, well, you did that. Like that's like the 15th time you've done that today and I told you not to do that. Now, I'm sorry, but now I'm punished. He never punishes. I don't think punishing is a good idea for children. Correction and discipline is a good idea. Punishing has this streak of vengeance in it. Correction doesn't. Correction is like, if you keep doing that, you're just going to defeat your own life. So as a parent, I've got a responsibility. As a leader in our church, the leader of the church, I've got a responsibility to help people to deal with the things that hold them back. That's not punishing. Oh, praise God. We're going pretty deep here. It must be time for a joke. Don't you think it must be time for a joke? This is pretty serious. Did I tell you about the guy? Here's a good story of unforgiveness. Did you hear about the guy? I don't think he was Australian. I think he was probably New Zealander, but don't tell the New Zealanders that. And he left. He was a minister, he got sick of living with people, and so he went off to an island by himself on a boat, and he lived there for about 10 years by himself, like a Christian guy. And then he came, you know, he had no contact really with people, but he came back one time and got some contact with people. Actually, I think what happened now in this story is that some people actually ran aground on the island, like they weren't. He was an isolated person. And they ran aground, you know, and they were looking at what he was doing, and he says, well, yes, let me show you around my island, which wasn't very big. And there was three buildings. All very nice. They said, you've got three buildings. He said, yes. He said, this is my home. This is where I live. And this building here, this is my church. It's where I worship God. And they said, what's that building? He said, oh, that's the church I used to go to. But he got the hump, you know. People there, oh, he got upset about something. So I'm not going. I'm not going there anymore. Those people aren't very nice to me, you know. All right. So forgiveness is an act of the will. And you shouldn't feel that the relationship needs to be back to what it was or what it could potentially be in order to prove that you've forgiven them. This is a very important point. Because the devil will mess with your mind like this. He'll say, you know, for instance, if it's a parent or an uncle, you know, someone in relationship, or a brother or a sister, there's another one. Brothers and sisters, and mum or dad died, and the brother got more money than I did in the will. There's a beauty. Don't tell me it doesn't happen. It happens a lot. Prepare yourself now. I already have. Whatever I get, I'm thankful for. Whatever I don't get, it'll be fine because God's with me. And if my two sisters get more than me, or somehow it's unfair, I'm going to be fine. And if I have a brother-in-law, I've got two brothers-in-law, and they're good people, but people are people. And if they go on some campaign and say that this is not fair and Paul shouldn't get this and whatever, I'm ready. I already know what I'm going to do. I'm going to say, never mind, I'm going to put forward my case in a calm and placid way, and I think this is fair because I'm interested in fair, not in my personal benefit. But if they want to push it and get their own way, I'll be fine. I'm not going to let somebody else's issues mess up my life. God has enabled me to get through my life without free gifts. Now, Esther made a lovely point earlier today, and I hasten to add that it's my birthday very soon. Esther, should you feel like... I'm just putting it out there. Let's just see what the Lord says, shall we? You know I'm joking, don't you? And you see, but you've got to be ready. You've got to be ready. You've got to be a little bit savvy. It's called wisdom. So down here you see, forgiveness is an act of the will. It's a decision. It's not, but wisdom is how you live life well. So if, for instance, I have a child, and I've raised a few of those, and I left them with some relative, and the relative got either very angry or was maybe physically abusive, didn't kill them, but, you know, mistreated them in some way that I wasn't happy with, I'm going to have to forgive them. But wisdom would tell me probably not a good idea to have the child stay with those people again. Now, you've got to understand this is very important to help you because the devil will trick you. What will happen with many Christians is they'll think, oh, well, if I really forgave them, then I'd just let the kid go there again. That's stupid. Forgiveness is not the same as relationship. Forgiveness is keeping your heart clean and holding no grudges against anybody. Relationship takes two sides. You've got to. So what if they don't ask for forgiveness? Plenty of people don't ask for forgiveness. I could write you a list longer than my arm of people that have upset me and have never asked for forgiveness, and they should have. But what am I going to do? I have a choice here. I can either let them go and forgive it and not worry about it, but act in wisdom, or I can get all pent up because they should have forgiven and I've forgiven and I'm being a Christian and they're supposed to be a Christian and why won't they forgive? And who gets damaged? Dumbo here. Are you with me? Is it helping you? Freedom comes through forgiveness. Nobody can force you to forgive and nobody can force you to unforgive, to hold unforgiveness. You can't make anyone else say sorry. So why put yourself in a lifestyle that is hassled or hindered by somebody else making a decision, which is maybe a wrong decision, to not forgive you, and you're going to be bothered about it? That's crazy. You've got a life to live. You've got children to raise. You've got people to befriend. You've got a God to represent. You've got work to do. You can't be bothered hanging around with so-and-so doesn't like me, so-and-so doesn't talk to me. Oh, hallelujah. I'm preaching this morning. You ready? It's true. Makes sense. It's not. So watching too many soaps will confuse you, though. Because you'll start to think that's just the way everybody is. Everybody's aunts, uncles, brothers, cousins had an affair with somebody else's. And, oh, I thought she was my sister, but really she's my mother. That's confusing. I'm taking it to a bit of an extreme, but you with me? All these ridiculous, complicated things that we see so often in movies. How many movies have you seen? You remember The English Patient? So that was a good movie. That was a really well-made movie, except I have a problem with this. I have a problem with I'm married to someone and I find this other person whom I just am so in love with, and the picture that it paints is that this is the right relationship. Of course, because it's passionate and he's so in love and he's so lovely and my husband is distant and he doesn't understand. That's not right. If you're going to get married, stay married. If you don't want to get married, don't get married. But don't make promises and then back out on promises. Amen? And be careful what you let yourself watch. There's a devil, not behind every tree, but there is a devil in this earth who would love to try and convince you to stay in unforgiveness because it'll cripple you. He'll just say, well, they haven't said you're sorry. That's excuse number one. Number two is, well, you know, they were wrong. Maybe you were wrong too, but they were more wrong than you. And on and go. And it's just a whole lot of rabble. I just say, devil, shut up. I forgive people. That's what I do. I made the decision. That's what I'm doing. I remember when I was a younger Christian, I said this to the church. It was a pretty radical thing to say, but I said something about, you know, I tried to talk about the importance of following Jesus and what could possibly happen in my life that might stop me following Jesus. So I tried to imagine the worst thing that could happen. And I thought to myself, I just did a little self-test, you know. And I thought, now, if that happened, that'd be bad. That's about as bad as it gets. But I'll still be following Jesus. I remember thinking that. And you know in my life that has almost happened. Really. May not stay that way, but right now. You just have to be ready. Are you with me? You okay? Not going too deep here for you, am I? Helping you. So, forgiveness. You can forgive, but you won't forget. You can forgive, but it doesn't mean restart. Don't go back into the business with the same person. Don't leave your child with the same person. And don't think that because you're making an intelligent decision, no, I don't think I'll leave my child with that person anymore. And maybe that person comes in and says, well, what's wrong? Why? Did they say something about me, did they? And they start this arguing kind of thing. Just be wise. Separate yourself from certain people. Get close to other people. Choose smart people to listen to. Yeah, but they're my uncle, or they're my cousin, or they're my family. So what? So what, you're obligated to fellowship at a high level with people that are going to drag you down just because they've got some of the same DNA as you? Ooh, I'm on some thin ice here, aren't I? Let me clarify what I'm saying. Family is important. God's into family. Family is very valuable. I'm very honouring to my mother and father. I do my best to be very caring for all the people that I'm connected with. Absolutely. But if they're going to deliberately exert an influence on me to try and pull me away from God, then I'm going to prudently reduce the amount of contact I have. Because my life has been bought by Jesus and it belongs to him. So I'll love you, but I'm not stupid. I'm not going to keep walking into a fire and keep putting my hands in the fire and burning myself because of some incorrect level of perception about what family is. This is family. This is the family of God. Also, are you with me? That makes sense? You got to be wise. Your life is valuable. You have to look after it. Amen. Just say you're preaching now, Pastor. I'm doing my best for you. I am. Wisdom is the ability to live life well. Let's go to the next one. Because you've got to move through a few here. Listen to this. Here's the instruction on how to forgive. Again, I've put a few too many notes in here. I apologize for that. But if we can read the top one, Colossians 3, look at this. Therefore, as God's chosen people, everyone say, I'm God's chosen person. Bear with each other. That means be patient with each other. And forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Did Jesus forgive you? There's the example. He forgave me, I forgive people. It's a no-brainer, really. It's an automatic decision that you start. You just say, that's what I do. Now listen, I've been as hurt as anybody. I've been as misrepresented and maligned as anybody. And so I'm not saying it's all easy. And I'm not saying you just snap your fingers and, hey, that's it. Sometimes you really got to process stuff. Sometimes you got to really walk through stuff. It can take a while. But you want to end, you want to actually start and end with this position in your heart. I'm forgiving. Jesus forgave me, I forgive people. But forgiving doesn't mean being stupid. Forgiving doesn't mean opening your heart to it getting abused again or hurt again or bashed again. Forgiving means I let it go, I'm not holding it against them, and I'm going to get on with my life, but I'm going to get on my life wisely. I'm not going to be manipulated into feeling like I should be back in this thing when all it's doing is destruction in my life. Are you with me? This is such a beautiful picture here. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. That's the New Testament Christian life. And let's look at a few things quickly. His forgiveness is bigger than anything anyone's done against you. So you might say, well, people have done some terrible things against me. And I know some terrible things have happened. I know. And I feel it. Trust me, I feel it. And I've been through terrible things myself. And so, and at the time, you feel just horrible. But then, after a while, when you get through it and you realize, and I realize, God's made me a better person, I'm now far more able to help other people because of the things that I've gone through. And some Christians, they want to be able to, like, let's save the world, let's help the world. And mostly it doesn't work like that. Maybe it's, usually it's just help the few people around you, and that's really more than enough for most of us. And then God says, good idea, I'll help you. I'll help you save the world. Let's walk through a few things together. And you go, ah, this can't be God, this is horrible. And he says, I thought you wanted to help the world. I thought you wanted to live like, yeah, but not this way, you know. This is. But he says, well, this is how it works. You see, you go through this, this changes you, then you go and then you can help the world. Helping the world is not another theory. What people need is not a theory. They need a life and they need love. And he builds that love in us as we go through stuff together. Are you with me? So that's his forgiveness. Secondly, it's his life and power that enables you to forgive. Very important to realize that. You say, well, how do I forgive? I'm going to go through it in a minute. But know that he's got power in you. And number three, this is very important. Let your mind and heart always be focused on what God said. I'm going to tell you something now that I hope you write it down and I hope you remember it. Because it's one of the greatest secrets I've ever found to building a good relationship or destroying relationships. If you want to build a good relationship, it's really not that hard. You've got to deliberately focus on the good things about the other person. If you want to, people come to me, not all the time, but often enough over the years. I'm just not suited to that person. I don't love them anymore. Or, we're not well, suited. We're not well designed for one another. And you can really cause havoc in any relationship, even if people are really well suited, simply by focusing on the things that they don't have instead of the things that they do have. It's just that simple. Much easier said than done. Because everybody, especially if, you're in a house like this, you're There are times you have to have those discussions. Doesn't mean that this is an easy thing to do. I'm just telling you, if you focus all the time on the things the person doesn't do, you're going to get an incorrect picture of what that person is really like, because the thing you focus on is what becomes big. And you think all they do is waste money. Maybe they do waste money, but maybe they're generous as well and considerate as well. Or you might think all they do is nag. Yeah, maybe they do too much nagging, but maybe they cook nice meals and maybe they clean the windows and maybe they keep the house nice. There's always two sides. And building relationships requires you, if you want to do it, to notice the good things about another person. Let your mind be filled. Now, when it comes to forgiveness, see, if you keep thinking they did this, that's what the devil will do. See that picture? Look, and even when it didn't happen, you weren't there, you didn't see something happen that really hurt you or it really hurt one of your children, you mightn't have seen it, but the devil will put a picture in your mind and most probably the picture will be worse than what it really was, just to really drive it home, just how terrible that was. Well, you're making it really hard for yourself to forgive. You're focusing on the wrong thing. God gave you a brain. Focus on Jesus died for me. All my messes, all my crap, if we're allowed to use that word, all my rubbish, all my mistakes, he took them all away. How awesome is that? Yeah, but this, no, don't think about that. Just think about that. He did all that for me.